can be only one podcast, and may it be the Prince of the Universe. Hi, folks. I'm Matt.
I'm Bruce.
And I'm Steven.
Let's do this.
All right.
Judas Unchained. Django Unchained.
Django.
What came first, Django or Judas?
Django goes back to the 50s or 60s.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, really? The story has?
Yeah, the Django is...
What does Judas Unchained have to do with Django Unchained? That's what I don't understand.
Nothing at all. They're both unchained.
They're both unchained.
Just like that melody.
Good. The one connection from these books that I can totally understand.
Now, what I want to know is... Are we going to let Steven pick any more books for this?
Oh, come on. Come on, you small-minded.
You're gonna have to lead this one, man. This is
really...
This was so all over the place. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with them. We don't focus on any character. We don't know who our main character is. I'm still confused about who the bad guy was. I know Morning Light Mountain Sunshine Rainbow Face guy.
Which I want more of. I like
just
him.
Brilliant. Well, I mean, he was interesting, but not with Rainbow Mountain Face or whatever his name was. Light Meadow Shadow.
Morning Light Mountain.
Morning Wood Mountain.
It was just translated to English. Uh-huh.
But the thing is, though, he wasn't really in it that much.
No, he wasn't. He was...
So
it's not about him. It's about an alien invasion.
Yeah, and I get that. And, you know, the wormholes opening up everywhere and them going, oh, no. And then 150 pages later, we get back to that war. It's just like...
You count pages too much.
No, he just sidetracks so much, and it's hard to stay focused on any one character.
There was a focus of world building more than plot.
It was a lot of that. Yeah. It was a lot of that.
I bet a really good editor could turn in a nice...
Probably it would be a novel
out of these two. That would be really good.
It's like he tried to make 17 books and he just chopped it up into one. All taking place in the same world. I seriously did get some people confused. Because I can't remember, I was reading about one person. I thought, what's he doing? Oh, that's the guy from the sump. And I did, because it'd been so long, I'd totally forgotten who that was. Yeah. And their names aren't that memorable, except for the ones we learned. Now, the only storyline that I was able to latch onto this time was Ozzy's, oddly enough, because it's so different from everyone else's.
Well, yeah.
And we talked about that last time.
Right.
But I want to go with that one because I really cannot remember. There's noise in the background. There's a war with... You know, multiple, what are they called? Opening up. Wormholes opening up. Where Morning Light Mountain's attacking them.
Right.
They're on an all-front attack. Nigel's there a little bit helping out, but there's a billion other people in different areas.
Okay, so Nigel...
to the situation.
Nigel is... His world where... It's basically the home base of all the wormhole generators...
Right.
...that go to all these different planets. It's being attacked, and so he takes control of the network, and
how much time has gone past? Because it feels like
3 years.
That's where I'm so confused. Because
the books are over like 3 years.
About 3 years.
Okay. Because
did it say that, and I just missed it? They never say anything about how much time passes.
Obviously enough, because they spent so many years getting ready for this. I'm like, wait, when did they do
when
that?
When Ozzy returned, he made the comment that 3 years have passed, but for him it was only 18 months.
Right.
And that was the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Was that toward the end when he made it out?
And then the very end, the last... I missed that then.
But the thing is, though, that's toward the end. That's toward the end of the book, though.
Yeah.
You're talking about the very end.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, the whole time, I had to assume, because he started talking like, but at first, I thought no time had passed, or regular time had passed. And so when they're talking about they've had years of research, or something like this, he mentioned a comment of years of research or preparing for this, and went, wait, then you knew about Morning Light Mountain. That's what I thought they were saying. But they didn't know about it, but they'd found out because the mission that we read about in the last book took place 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, about two years, I think.
But they never mention that. It's just everything's talked about way past tense. Mm-hmm. And I felt like and that's where a lot of my confusion came from, because it felt like I'd missed up something. And
I would say this, you're probably distracted because while people were trying to figure stuff out, they would get really horny and go do it a lot.
There was a lot of sex.
And I'm just trying to think, it's like, there's more important things to focus on, people. The alien is invading. You're being shot at right now. Why are you ripping each other's clothes off?
Hold on. Sci-fi book.
There's another one. Murphy, is that his name?
Morton.
Morton gets thawed out.
Right.
But for him, and see, this is where there's a time jump somewhere in the beginning, in the middle. There's that's where the time jump takes place. Because for him, he said how many? He's only served a couple months.
Yeah,
in cryo, they said. Because he said about how many years has it been? And they said 30. And then he starts laughing. He said, "What happened?" Because he knows they're bringing him out for a reason,
right?
But he hadn't even. Okay, maybe they did say 13 months. I remember they never said year. They never said a year or two. Because he said how many years, and then they respond in months, and he starts laughing and says, what happened? You know? So the thing is, I'd assume just months had gone by. But then, as we and I'll be honest, we don't follow Morton the whole time. We jump to a billion other people.
Yeah.
And then we get, and it's something, I believe it's something from Nigel that says they've been studying some type of countermeasure for X amount of years. Like, when did they do that?
Well, I think you may be referring to the hyperdrive systems.
Maybe
that they're coming
maybe.
Up
something,
with
something something they the were engines. Working on.
And it could his been, family it, has been working on these for a long time.
No, it was something in preparation.
In anticipation for if
okay,
something
maybe
happens.
So. Maybe
they
so.
Had these
okay.
ARC ships that they've been working
okay.
on.
Oh, that's another thing. The Starfire, is that what its name is? What was the ship that everyone doesn't know exists but knows it?
Starflyer.
Starflyer.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't understand that.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Okay.
I don't understand the Starflyer at all.
We're not even going to try to go in order on this.
Let's
just give kind of a roundabout thing.
So give me the Starflyer first.
Okay.
I still don't understand
that. Starflyer was a portion of Morning Light Mountain that 10,000 years ago or so, before the barrier went up, mm-hmm. had gone out to Dyson Beta. And then they didn't know, or Morning Light Mountain didn't know that Dyson Beta, the aliens that went over there, encountered another alien race and absorbed and controlled them, but changed just enough to be a little bit more adaptive. Well, whenever they saw the barrier on Dyson Alpha go up, he tucked tail and ran to get out of there before the barrier around Beta went up, because he saw it coming. Well, he ends up crashing on the planet far away. And then he sends a flare bomb into the sun, and that's what attracts the humans to that planet. And then he infiltrates the humans and has gotten away from that planet. So the spaceship that is on far away, the planet, is the Starflyer's spaceship.
So why does no one believe in that?
Because they don't think it can happen.
Okay.
Nobody ever saw it. Bradley Johansson was one of the first technicians. Well, he was one. Bradley Johansson was one of the first technicians that went over there. He got infected, and it never says why, but he decides to go walk the Sylphon paths. And whenever he finds the end, they cure him, but he still remembers being infected. So that's when he decides to go on his crusade to out the Starflyer, but nobody believed him. But he was able to talk to Ozzy, and Ozzy's like, okay, cool. And that's whenever they set up the whole wormhole heist.
Right. Okay, so the wormhole heist. I'm glad you brought that one up.
That's a fun one.
What
tidbit.
Does... Yeah. It was supposed to be in there just for fun, because Nigel shot that was Ozzy, and Ozzy reveals it was him.
Right. Well, that's how Bradley Johansson gets his monetary backing. So
the
original wormhole.
I missed that connection. Then.
The original wormhole generator that Ozzy and Nigel
built
was in a museum,
and it got
so
stolen.
They go in and bring up the barrier that's supposed to protect it, but they're on the inside, so all the cops are sitting there watching them do this, and they can't do anything about it. And so they get the wormhole generator working and send it to a bank vault at a casino. and steal all these banknotes, untraceable banknotes and everything, bring right. it back in, open up another wormhole to some undisclosed place, and take it all out there and go with it. And then when the battery runs out on the barrier generator that keeps right. them in, they're gone.
Right.
And that's how Johansson is bankrolled.
Funded his... Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. Okay.
And then that's what... And then Ozzy admits to Nigel later on that... Because they said, how in the world did they have the knowledge
yeah.
to know how to operate that thing? And that's and Nigel's like, oh.
That's when he puts it together.
And Ozzy yeah. was one of the guys that
yeah,
that
and Ozzy just money. Smiles, yeah.
he didn't do it for the money. He just did it
for no, he did it for the heck of it, yeah. yeah.
Okay, so Ozzy, I can hold on to this storyline. He meets an alien.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to ask his questions.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is. I think
we're not
the answer
tell you, because we're not going to get
basically
involved.
They said that the yeah. Sylphin did not put up the barriers. It was another ancient race
right.
named right. the Animime, who, since they put up that barrier, went post-physical. They part of their race decided to transcend to a post-physical right. state. And the other part of the race decided to descend into an agrarian society that shuns all technology, and they do not... They haven't been found by humans, and the Sylphans aren't telling them where they are.
Right. Now, this person, their name is that he meets, and he accompanies
Cloud
them.
Cloud Dancer, I think is who it is.
Is it Cloud Dancer? Is that mm-hmm. his name? He is ignorant of human life?
No, not really. No. Just
or how humans live?
He's above it.
No, yeah. Who's the... All right, then I'm forgetting. No, I'm asking who is it's Ozzy and Orion, is that mm-hmm. correct?
Okay,
who's Orion?
Hanging with them?
Yeah.
Tochi. He's an alien.
Yeah, that's what I mean,
he's
alien.
A completely unknown alien to the human race.
That they find.
Mm-hmm. In the Ice Citadel.
Yeah. Right.
On the Sylphan Pass.
And he decides to join them.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he's trying to get out of the Ice Citadel. He was stuck there. And he thought that Ozzy and Orion were his best chances. And
remember, he was,
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was fun. My favorite.
Same time, kind of like pointless to the story of the book.
Well,
a little bit.
Yeah, but Orion needs someone to interact with while Ozzy does his thing, because Ozzy mm-hmm. is kind of breaking on his own character and Orion just can't hang out.
Right.
So he needs someone to watch those channels that Ozzy thought he blocked. and then
the thing is,
Orion falling in love with every girl that's old and everything is he's,
no, she's just being nice to you.
He's Matt from Wheel of Time, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I'm, now I'm liking him. And then when he meets that girl at the day club or whatever,
yeah,
and he falls in love with her, that whole thing's pretty funny too.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really funny is when Tachi sees her, goes, oh, is this the unbelievable blank blah blah? He's like, no! that got me laughing.
Yeah.
That got me laughing. So that was enjoyable, the Orion Tochi, even though you're right, that it's not relative to the storyline,
no.
But I needed something to laugh at because I couldn't understand anything else.
Again, those were
besides
enjoyable
Ozzy's
moments.
Story.
Those were enjoyable.
I could follow that because it was separate itself, and he had kind of he kind of climbed out.
Well, because
out.
He didn't really interact with any of the other characters, and so you didn't have to know where those characters...
But there were so many characters that were... That's the other thing. A lot of these characters were the same type of people. To me, they were. Not everyone, but a lot of them.
I feel like...
But I mean...
I may have been
or
that
they were
confused
uninteresting.
At the first time I read it. And,
I don't know. I was... But... Anyway, now I'm going to get to Ozzy and Nigel meeting together. Is there anything? Mm-hmm. There's a ton of stuff before it, but I just don't know it. So anything relative? Because that's when the story kind of has some type of a focus, where Ozzy gets caught up on what's going on because he's been out for a while.
Right.
Oh, you're right. Maybe that is when they talk about the year. Now that I think about it, because that's... Because he asked how long, and to him it only been, got it.
Right.
Yeah, no, I do remember that now. Never mind. But, so Nigel fills him in on it. They're trying to fight this war. The war's being fought over on and off over the. That's the other thing. This war is going on, and then they cut to people who are living at home, going to work every day, asking if they're going to be impacted by the war. No, it's on the other side of the
galaxy.
And I'm reading the paper, drinking my coffee, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why we're doing this. Why we're
because okay, so there were 23 worlds in completely different star systems all over the place that were invaded. But all the other ones were not invaded. So it's life is going on for these people.
Let me put this in Star Wars terms. It's like the Death Star blew up Alderaan, and then we go to two Ewoks fishing on Endor who are talking about how cold the water is. That's kind of how...
yeah.
That's kind of how this... And it had nothing to do. They'd mention it. Ewoks go, hey... Did you hear that? What, like a 10 million voices crying out at once and then total silence? Yeah. Weird, right? Yeah. You want to go fishing? Sure. I don't know. It just felt like it was off to me. And it threw you off on the... Because even the grand finale of this thing was spread out in between. They'd get on the war a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then they'd go off to someone who wasn't even touched by the war. But I didn't understand where that connection was coming from. He just wanted to show different points.
I think he just was trying to show off his world.
Well, he should have been showing off a story.
Yeah, he should have had an editor come in and say, no, focus.
Focus. Here's your Adderall.
Yeah. But so anyway, it get to the end. They defeat Morning Light Shadow Mountain Face.
Now, the thing Rainbow is, they, well, it's midway through the book.
Yeah.
They have some really dominant victories.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Midway through the book, they do... kind of defeat Morning Light Mountain. They blow up what they call Hell's Gateway.
Right.
Which is kind of the staging planet that
Morning Light Mountain... His entry point, yeah.
Yeah. So they blow that up, and now their plan is to go to the Dyson Pair and blow up their star and kill them.
And Ozzy just wants to turn it back on. Right. He doesn't want to commit genocide.
Ozzy wants to turn on the generator.
Yeah,
instead of committing genocide.
He and Nigel have a big argument about that. That's correct.
So that the Morning Light Mountain part is kind of over, except for whether or not they genocide
what they do
the
now.
Primes.
Yeah, that's one of the problems is you know how it's going to end halfway through the book. It's just only how they're going to get there because they show dominance in battle really early. So I wasn't scared for humanity leading into the final battle because it was like, okay, we've actually got the technology to beat this guy. It's just how we're going to do it.
That's right. True. Where's the threat?
Well, the threat now is
the next 300 pages.
No, the threat is the Starflyer, which is a prime motile.
Yeah. But I never understood that. I understand now that you explained it to me, but while reading it, I just could not understand the significance of it, and I couldn't understand everything. Who was the girl that kept calling herself stupid the whole time? Because everyone knew it but Pansy. Her. And who is that?
She was...
Was she in the first book?
Porn star in the first book that she got... That Melanie ran into whenever she was selling the story of Morton's murder intrigue and stuff like that.
Goodness gracious, she's featured in this one more than she's mentioned first in the first book, but she has more dialogue than Melanie. Melanie, no. Doesn't she?
No.
See, I got them mixed up.
She ends up being basically tied to the Ryel alien. That can read the memories. He's basically addicted to reading memories and human emotion and stuff. And he wants to go and experience human emotion.
Who is dating Dudley?
Melanie. Melanie was just screwing him so that she could get information and basically say, I have access
and see,
to
Dudley
Dudley
was,
Bowes.
And maybe he was like this in the first book, too, but he was just so insecure and kind of annoying.
Well, he was
kinda...
re-lifed.
Yeah.
Well, right. He was missing. And I know that. And he got to meet his...
Yeah.
Oh, we should mention there's the robotic Dudley or whatever.
Yeah, the motile.
The motile that
has
Dudley.
Dudley's
the Morning
memories.
Light Mountain, vivisected.
Yeah.
And, found the...
He
got,
comes
he
back
the
and they get
crystal
to meet.
And was able to, after killing him, was able to kind of put
that
him in...
That was in this book. I forgot about
and
that.
And so that he was able to learn about humans and what they did and what they could do. And you know, that's how he learned about the wormholes and all that stuff.
Right.
I brought M&Ms just so we could enjoy this conversation.
that's what I have whiskey for.
Okay.
I hear that gluck, 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 gluck. That's me pouring whiskey.
So it ends.
Well,
that's it. We'll see you next time.
No.
I don't have anything else to say. I just
well, there's a few important characters.
So unfocused. It was just so unfocused. But go ahead. Go ahead.
So there's a few important things. So this whole time that Paula Mayo, the investigator, has been chasing Bradley Johansson and trying to get him, and turns out he's been right the whole time. But Adam Alvin, who is the arms dealer who was responsible for the blowing up at the train station 300 something years ago, she can't let that go. He's guilty. He killed people.
Right.
Well, she has to refrain from arresting him this whole time because he is vital to the success of the mission, yes, of getting the Star Flyer from taking off. And
as we mentioned in the last book, that's hard for her because that is in her DNA.
Right.
That is what she's supposed to do. That is what she, that is her calling. That's what she's meant to do.
Right.
She has to go against everything. Him. Right.
So basically her body...
I didn't get that struggle, though.
Her body goes into shock because she's having to stop herself from arresting him. And she starts basically dying. She's not eating. She's not drinking. They're trying to get... They're on this, you know, 3-day chase to catch the Star Flyer before he gets to his ship, and they've got this whole plan to use the weather on the planet. So this goes all the way back to the first book with Justine and the hypergliders going over the mountains and stuff like that.
Right,
they're using that weather system that creates that situation, and they're going to direct it with basically force fields to basically knock the spaceship out of the air as it's trying to take
that's
off.
Fair. To be honest, I do remember that now, but I'd forgotten that from the first book.
Okay.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
I do remember that now.
So they've got Wilson Keim, who is now the ex-admiral, but he's a pilot. Oscar Monroe, who is also a pilot. And Anna Keim, who's Wilson's wife, also pilots. So those three are the ones that are going to set up the observation on the top of one of the big mountains so that they can use the weather information and stuff like that to... Anyway... It's a little convoluted.
Because there's somebody's a mole or somebody's
a traitor. It was very convoluted.
They have a mole.
There was a Judas.
Yes, there is a Judas.
There is a Judas.
Yeah.
That is true. And he is unchained. That's true.
Yeah. So just before they're about to take off, Paula Mayo figures out who it is. Turns out Oscar was friends with Adam Alvin whenever the train station blew up, and he was part of the group that planned that. He felt super guilty about it, changed his life, went on to do fine, but of course Paula's not going to be able to let it go.
Right.
But she can't do anything about it again.
Got
because it. He's in the hyperglider, so finds out that because of that, Alvin trusted him. He couldn't be the Starflyer agent. It has to be Anna. And so they all take off and everything, and Wilson's trying to get up there and everything. Oscar sacrifices himself and crashes into Anna's hyperglider, and Wilson ends up crashing onto the top of the mountain, and he's like paralyzed from the waist down, and but completes the mission.
Right. Mission completed.
Right. And they knock the Star Flyer out of the air. Johansson goes back and confronts the Star Flyer, and they die together. And
yeah. And next week we're reading Sea Spot Run.
Because we need something simple for these guys to be able to understand.
I was gonna give you that one. I just was lost. Just lost on a lot of that, which is what I had a problem with. Bruce, what was your? Did you have problems with it?
I mean, the unfocus. You're in the middle of doing something, and then you're going to switch into something completely unrelated.
Not just unrelated.
Maybe it
helps. Not just unrelated, but it doesn't push. I didn't feel like it pushed the overall story arc at all.
Okay. It doesn't necessarily push the storyline, but not everything has to push the storyline.
When you're at the climax of your story. Yeah. Yes. It does.
I want to figure out what's going on, and you keep changing scenes to the point to where, you know, I'm losing focus.
It's like I'm trying to watch the game. You keep changing the damn channel. I just want to see what the play was. Turn it back.
Nope.
And you turn it back, and I've already skipped a few down, so I don't know what's going on. Once I get cut, I'm like, okay. Then you change it again. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's like he has ADD in his own book. He can't write about just one character for two back-to-back chapters or one epic event because that mission is very important. Yet it's spread out over all these little other things that come here and there. And I'm like, you could have put these either somewhere else. And then it went a little bit long in the tooth at the end. A little bit too drawn out.
Yeah, the whole three-day chase was a little much.
That was a little much. Some of it could have been...
On that like halfway point where they got to take the carbon goose or something like that and fly a 10-hour flight.
And they're doing all this. You're like, okay, what's going on? Are they finding stuff along the way? Is he going to go back and say, oh, wait, that thing we saw back there, that unlocks? No, it was just that we just want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like each one, these are 800 something pages each. Is that correct?
Yeah, somewhere around
there. 40 hours. They could have each been half that and we would have gotten the whole story.
Yeah.
There's just so much in there that doesn't need to be in there.
Yeah.
So
this edited down would make a really good.
Yeah.
It would make a tighter story.
I'd say about four season show.
It's like pin the tail on a donkey and give me one character that we need to follow, that we need to care about. I don't care about any of those characters, by the way. I think they're all despicable characters. But
Wilson's pretty awesome.
Wilson probably, but we hardly get to see him that much.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, all of them...
Because he's not worried about what's going on in his pants while the universe is under...
You know. He's the only one.
I don't know.
No, you're right. Orion... Oh, wait. No, never mind.
Not Orion.
But I'll be honest. I enjoyed, like I said, the Orion Tachi thing. I thought that was fun. Yeah.
Especially the very end when... so like, Ozzy and Orion and Melanie and... Tochi are back on the Sylphin Pass.
And everybody
pass.
Gets to sleep with Melody except Tochi.
Yeah. She probably would have been all for it, too.
She probably would have been.
A little whore.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
But Orion and Melody end up together, which is just one of the weirdest things.
That was weird. That was thrown together last minute. And that's another thing I didn't...
He really cared for her. All these other men that she's with the whole time, they don't really care about her.
Yeah, but that was weird, you know, because it's not...
Just one little teenage boy who's never been with anybody.
And that you just met.
You're the first person who he's ever with.
Yeah.
And he... So he likes you a lot.
And he's going to dedicate his life to you. And has already said that to me. Well, yeah.
It's young love.
It's really dumb.
Yeah. Conquers her whoredom.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they go back on the Sylphin Paths. Ozzy can find them and everything like that. So, and they're with the Bose Motile, too.
Oh, right, yeah.
It starts out with Ozzy waking up and not having gotten any sleep and everything because Orion and Melody are in another tent just banging all night long. And Tochi's like, why do y'all... reference your deity when copulating or something like that.
See, Tachi's things are kind of funny. That's what it's meant for. But everything else, like, well, okay.
Yeah. And then whenever they're going off on their separate path, Ozzy's like, man, they don't have 2 cents to rub together between the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like shaking his head. Kids today.
Yeah. Because they're both just completely, like, Melanie is stupid. Like, she's just downright stupid.
And the thing is, that's the other thing. I was hoping that she would, you know, because at the very beginning, we're told that.
Yeah.
You know, when she was Morton, right? Mm-hmm. At the beginning, she's just a young, doe-eyed nobody. Well, I thought, okay, well, finally, because when she calls her uncle along, this is in the first book, I thought, okay, well, we're going to see a story arc with her. She's going to be a stronger woman. She, when Morton sees her again, she's going to be the one all together now. She's got her life together, and she's helping him. You know, I thought that's what we were going to see there. No, she's dumb the whole way. Which I guess is fun. I mean, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see no character development in two and what over 600 pages of storyline. I didn't see that coming.
Right.
But, yeah.
She gets to sleep with everybody.
Yeah.
Like she'll be sleeping with one guy at the beginning of the chapter, and then she'll be switching partners two or three times before the chapter's over with.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, so, there it is. You know, there it is.
Well, it was a dud. It was a dud. Dud for you guys. I enjoy it.
Well, you know what? Let's end with this. Why do you enjoy it? Okay. You go ahead and pitch this. Okay. I'm not doing a good job.
I came to this realization this week because after reading this, it's gotten me wanting. It's gotten me wanting. It has me wanting more. And so I started reading the Void trilogy.
Which you really like.
It's way better.
Well, and I've
okay. came across that. So y'all's issue with him jumping from one character to another one, he doesn't do that in this. Now, he does jump, but you get a lot of information with each one. It doesn't. It's not like just a few pages and then jump into somebody else's point of view from the same scene. It jumps to something completely different.
Okay.
So you don't get such small little bites. You get an entire chapter.
Does Morning Light Mountain come back?
No.
Yeah.
But the primes are referenced a lot.
What characters return in the Void trilogy? if any.
Oh, no, you get a bunch. You get Justine, her dad, Gore, Paula Mayo.
I remember Paula Mayo.
She's the investigator. This is 3,000 years later.
Oh, boy.
So she, over the rejuvenations, has sequenced her OCD out. So that
they made the comment that they can do that.
Yeah. She decided that she did not want to... If she needed some gray area, she didn't want to... go into shock.
Okay.
So
hold on. I realize we're I moved us off that topic.
That's okay.
Right now, pitch the Commonwealth trilogy to listeners. I mean duology.
Pitch it to them.
Yeah, pitch it to them. We just read because we didn't do. Man, I didn't
really
do a good job
after y'all just got through destroying it.
I know. That's why I'm giving you final word to pitch it and say don't listen to these knuckleheads because
it's a huge world. Don't listen to it at 3x speed.
I didn't.
listen to it. I think it helps. Because I think one of the issues that you had, Matt, is that you started counting pages on how long it took to get back to somebody else.
Just because
else.
It was so long before we got to the other page.
But if you don't think about that, if you immerse yourself into each different story and then try to remember how it's going to come back into play. And this might be one of the issues with the first read. You can read the Void trilogy without reading this, and it might be easier to read this after reading the Void trilogy because you know some of these characters. Now it ruins some of the suspense on do they survive, but if it's you two guys, y'all don't give a shit if they survive. So
okay,
it's a very big world. There's a lot of really cool concepts. You have to take a lot of them on faith until they are explained because there's very little exposition. You're not going to get full-on explanations of one particular thing. You don't know how a wormhole generator works. Of course, you don't really know how it works, but you just don't know how it's implemented after the first time you hear about it. You're just like, okay. And you have to speculate on how they would use it. Until you get more information about it, which could be 300 or 400 pages later.
It is. All right. Well, that's good.
It's a big world.
So I'm going to leave it at this. I'm going to let all the listeners can decide. And I'll be honest, and I'm being completely honest. If you've read this duology before, if you're familiar with the series, or you decided to go ahead and defy my review of it and take Steven's side, I do want you to come back, and I do want you to comment on the YouTube channel here so I can get your comments. I do want you to explain to me why you did or did not like it. And I promise you, all those comments, whether good or bad, I'll give to Steven.
You don't want anything to do with it.
No. I'll just let you know. Like, hey, okay, they agree with you or they disagree. Okay. But if you do read it, I want you to give it a fair shot, though. So give it a fair shot. You should go in there with an open mind. I've always been behind that. He's enjoyed it.
The basic story is good. That it's just there's just a lot of extra
you have
stuff
to work for it. You really do. I mean, it's not a mindless read. It's not something that is going to be easy. It's not a simple story. It's very, very involved. I like books like that. I enjoy being able to reread it and being a little surprised and going, oh, I should have remembered that the first time I read it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. So. All right. Good. Thank you. All right. So, hey, folks, that's it for now. We'll see you next time on Princes of the Universe.